kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Praise God. Well, I'd like to encourage you today in faith, and we have a title for us to consider, and we're calling this teaching today, Wading Out by Faith. Wading Out by Faith. Now, this teaching came to me in an interesting way. I was given some magazines that somebody didn't want, and one of the magazines that was given to me was by the National Trust. And as I was praying over the word and started to sketch it out, the Lord took me to the front cover of this magazine. And as I looked at it, the Spirit began to speak to me and interpret what he wanted me to share with you. And it was sand dunes up in Norfolk. These sand dunes where there was water was trickling round through the sand and gradually opening up and finally going into the sea. And of course, up in that region in East Anglia, there's a lot of sand dunes and so on. And as I looked at this, I said, Lord, you're beginning to speak to me about what you want me to share. And he immediately took my mind to Ezekiel 47, which we're going to look at today. In Ezekiel 47, and here it speaks about the temple that is to be rebuilt. Just to familiarize ourselves, as we know that Ezekiel, he was called as a priest and a prophet to minister during the time of Israel's darkest days when she was in captivity in Babylon. And before she was carried away into Babylon, Israel received one of its worst final assaults on Jerusalem. And this prophet, like many of them, he spoke often in parables and in signs, in symbols. And here God spoke to him through these symbols so that he would give these messages to the people that were in exile. And as we will look at in Ezekiel 47, it's resembling where God is going to pour forth water to restore, to heal. And he's going to bring his people out of exile. They're going to rebuild the temple, and they're going to come out just like when God revives their dry, dead bones, but God is going to restore, breathe his spirit afresh anew, and they will come to life, and God will have mercy over the temple of Almighty God. And we see these parallels, like God said in the last days through Ezekiel, I will again pour out my spirit upon all flesh. We know it, we talk about it many, many times, but we see these parables and parallels right through the scripture, where God has judged his people. They've gone into exile, into prison, but the mercy of God brings them out again and will restore. And the church is exactly the same. The church has gone into dry, arid land for centuries, having lost the baptism of the Spirit. And again, the Lord will revive in these last days as he pours out his Spirit again to restore. So we will see this parallel of what Ezekiel's doing here, how God has called this prophet in which to minister to a remnant. It's interesting that Ezekiel's name means God strengthens, or the strengthening hand of God. And how we need, don't we, in these last days, the strengthening hand of God as he restores. And I'm calling this teaching, as I've said, wading out by faith. And so in Ezekiel 47, I'm going to read a few verses here. I know we know this, but I think you're going to find this encouraging today. And it says, "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from the dyer, the threshold of the temple, toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And he brought me out by the way of the north gate, and he led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the water. The water came up to my ankles. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, the water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen this?' Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there along the bank of the river, were very many trees on one side and on the other.'" And so it goes on, what the water has done to restore the land, to bring vegetation, healing, and trees, and so on. So we see here something very prophetic, something very wonderful, what God wants of us. And as I said, I'm calling this today, wading out by faith. We note that this river comes from where? God's house. Whatever God is going to do, it will always come from the house of God. The same as we are a spiritual house, built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, in which he comes to inhabit. And he comes with that water, and that water is to refresh, to heal the land. This is why I say so often, we are in the times of restoration, where God is calling out a remnant now to himself, to heal us, to meet with us. But there's something that we have to do in return. And that is, he requires of us to walk totally by faith in these last days. And we are learning, aren't we, brothers and sisters, that God doesn't make mistakes. And he's wanting us to walk totally by faith because this world cannot be trusted any longer. As we have said many times, God is shaking the heavens and the earth, as it says in Hebrews. And this shaking is in order to expose the devil's corruption. And we are living, aren't we now, in a time of age where we are seeing everything being exposed. The corruption, the vice, the deception. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's in politics, whether it's in the world, whether it is leaders in our own families and in our own lives, God is exposing. And we can do two things with these exposures. We can either bow the knee and turn with our whole heart to God that he will heal us and have mercy on us, or we can turn away to our own peril. That is what I see happening now in the world. And God is challenging his church because he says judgment begins first in the house of God. But for God to judge his house, he's also got to reveal the alternative. And that is the healing of these waters, which we're going to look at in a minute. But we see, as we've read this, that these rivers, this water, comes from the house of God. I'm reminded of something in Psalm 46. Psalm 46 and verse 6, which he says here, which is interesting. Psalm 46, verse 4. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. So there is a parallel there with what God is doing. And as he showed me this trickle of water coming down the sands along this beach and opening up, and then as it opened up, it began to build up the water, and then the water began to go into the sea. And I believe this is the same parallel of what we're looking at here in Ezekiel 47. And so let's take it up in verse 3. And he says, "And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles." Now, what does this tell us? Well, this tells us that there are those who are just prepared to wade out in ankle-deep faith. And what is ankle-deep faith? Well, it's having a go. I'm not fully persuaded, but let's keep it all safe. Let's keep our religion respectable. Let's not go overboard. Let's not rock the boat. And these are generally Sunday Christians. And they clearly lack the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're not empowered by the Spirit of God. And not only that, but they reveal their lack of understanding of the Word and Scripture. And these Sunday Christians, like I was, way back, what do? They baptize infants by sprinkling and doing the sign of the cross on the forehead. That's your baptism into the church. Little understanding that the scriptures show that you go completely under the waters and come up. Can you not see the parallel that works here with these ankle-deep Christians who just have that faith for this? And they wonder why nothing goes on, why nothing happens. And sadly, the devil has such a hold in these environments, and they're deceived because they have decided just to have an ankle deep faith. That is all I want. I don't want to be persuaded any further. I want to keep it respectable. I don't want to upset anyone. I don't want to upset my husband, my wife, or family, or whatever it would be. There are many who would tell you they believe in God, but that is their belief. But these people don't go very deep with God. They're never really going to experience God. Some of these people may just be saved by the skin of their teeth. But you see, it doesn't stop there, does it? Because if we look in verse 4, and it says, again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. So these are Christians who now are beginning to wake up, are beginning to become aware that you can go deeper with God. You don't just have to be a Sunday Christian. And this is where you're beginning to see that God requires something. God actually wants me to believe by faith. Faith actually is important. I've read what it says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I better do something about this. But this is also where you are challenged. This is those who are now gone up to their knees. They're now being challenged about discipleship. They're now being challenged about commitment. God is presenting that you too have to take up your cross daily and follow Christ. They're now being challenged that they need to get into the Word of God more than they have before. They're also being challenged about prayer, because they have read that Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. So you could say that these knee-deep Christians are in the place of where they're being challenged to go deeper. And again, they can still turn back. They can still walk out of the water, because they're only up to their knees in water. But it goes on, doesn't it, in verse 4. And he says, again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the water came up now to my waist. That's interesting. And what does this signify to us? Well, when you get to your waist, you realize that you are in a place where it only just takes a big wave to come in, and it's going to take you out into the water, out of your depth. So you are feeling not safe when it's up to your waist. And what is that signifying? What is the Spirit saying to these people who are waist deep? He's saying, you have a need of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need empowerment, because you are insecure. You're not balanced as you should be. And it only just takes a wave or a current, and out you go out of your depth. And you will never be able to swim. And the reason you won't be able to swim, because you have not received the empowerment of the Spirit to protect, to preserve you. And this is the water that is at the waist, waist deep. And so it's becoming serious. I'm beginning to realize I don't mess about with God. God is meaning business with me. He's drawing me out into the deep waters. And I've got a choice. But you can still go back. You're still capable of walking back out of the water. And there are many at this point who go back, because it's at the place where you realize you're not going to be in control. And we like to be in control. Many Christians have gone back, have turned their back on God because they cannot be in control. Which means that you've got to receive God as he reveals himself in his word. They are being challenged by the sovereignty of God. That's where they are. But it's not only that. Those that go back, they have only built their foundation on the sand. And little do they realize that the sand will not hold that foundation. And they've let fear cause them to turn back. This is why God deals with fear with us. Because this is what fear will do. This is why the Bible says fear hath torment. But he says the greatest thing that deals with fear is God's love. For there is no fear in the perfect love of God. But they have a choice to believe that or not. And not only that, but this is the period where they're up to their waist, where they begin to realize that there are the shakings in one's life. They begin to realize that God requires separation. God wants sanctification, separation in my life. He's going to draw my heart, my affections, my lusts, everything from this world. But they're only up to their waist and they can still turn back. Well, let's carry on with this. And then we come to verse 5. And again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Wow. Are we beginning to understand what God's saying now? This is a total walk of faith. It isn't a half measure. It isn't three quarters. The deeper life teaching is the challenge to walk totally by faith. And to walk totally by faith, your legs, your feet are of no use anymore. You can't rely on your feet. You can't rely on your legs anymore. You now have to swim. And this is totally by faith. You see, we rely, don't we, on our legs, our feet. Why? Because they keep us functioning. They keep us moving. We're able to go from A to B. That's why we see those who are physically challenged. They find it difficult because they are paralyzed in their legs or their feet. They can't walk. So they are challenged, unlike we are. You see, to walk by faith, the call today is to be out of control. That is what God wants of you and I. And that is why he presents the cross. He allows us to go through the trials and tribulations that bring us to the end of ourselves so that God can supernaturally take over. In other words, when you start in those waters swimming, you are being supported supernaturally. And that is what he wants of us. Don't be afraid of these waters. Are you still waist deep? Keep going out. Keep your eyes on Jesus, on his word, and you won't even be aware when suddenly you're finding you've no longer got ground underneath. You are now swimming, moving by faith. And that's how it is. When you have your eyes on Jesus, you're not aware of the surroundings. I am swimming by faith. I am kept by the power of Almighty God through the baptism of the Spirit. You see, the water that completely engulfs one is what? Is the Word of God. It's the promises of God. God enables you to swim. The water is baptism, where you go completely under and come up in the new life of Jesus Christ. The water is to refresh us, to cleanse us, to keep us right in God's presence. We know what the nature of water spiritually speaks of. And he says, that's what I want you to swim in. And the deeper you go, the further you go in faith. Because like an ocean, you can keep swimming and keep going and keep going forward. That is the deeper life. That is the doorway, Jesus said, you go through, and you can go as deep and as far as you want with the Lord. You never will do that if you're in ankle deep or even the waist deep faith, which most are. Most don't want to wade out because it's fear that stops them. It's their heart that's still in the world that causes them to go back. Can you not see, brothers and sisters, this wonderful parallel here of what God is revealing? This, what we're looking at, has been written thousands of years ago, and it's still fresh today. That's the wonder of God's word. How he brings it alive to us by the Spirit. But it's not only that going out, it's about relationship. This is where the bride makes herself ready, brothers and sisters. She cannot make herself ready in ankle deep faith or waist deep faith. She can't make herself ready there. She can only make herself ready supernaturally when being preserved and kept by Almighty God, which he's doing with you and I. And that is the love of God. That is the provision of God. That is the protection of God. That is the guidance of God. And that's why he wants us, by faith, out of control. He doesn't want you and I in control. And your trials are so tailor-made that they are presented in such a way that you are out of control. It is impossible. This mountain is too big. There's no way it can be crossed. And that's why he says it's not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, says the Lord. And this is why he brings your life and my life out of control, to prove his power, his faithfulness, to show that you can be out of control and live and walk totally by faith. And not rely on this world and the arm of the flesh. Because we are seeing this world and the arm of the flesh is failing the house of God. It is failing those who walk by faith and not by sight. God is allowing all of this to get our attention, to show that you can go deeper with him, that you can swim out so that you no longer can feel your feet anymore under the ground. You are swimming. And the moment you start swimming, that is your experience of walking supernaturally with God. Our God is a miraculous God, unlike other religions. God is still creating today. He's still a miracle-working God. He's still healing and delivering us and saving us and bringing us through. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changes not. It's we who change him by our confession, by bad teaching through the pulpits and so on. But thank God, the fire is falling in the house of God. The fire is falling in the pulpit again to restore a remnant back to the Word of God. Why is the Word so important? Because the Word is our washing, our refreshing, our keeping us in the presence of Almighty God. And the only way you're going to experience it, as Ezekiel says, wade out and swim. And what does he say? As I read on, it says, where those waters come out, the land comes alive again. Trees begin to grow. Vegetation. It speaks of blessing. And that's why God brings us and baptizes us into his house, his church, for blessing. This is where we come alive, brothers and sisters. When he brings us together in fellowship. This is where he ignites something within our hearts that nothing can put it out. But it's going to be those who are prepared to wade out and swim totally by faith. Don't try and work it out how God is going to do it. He will do it. And I will tell you as well, when he leads you through the trials and the testings, you will find he is most gentle and loving and merciful. It is just the devil that tries to suggest that, oh, well, you've missed it now. You know, God is angry with you and he's going to damn you and so on. Yes, your mind becomes so active. But when God is with you, leading and guiding you to go deeper with him, you will find him the most loving and gentle and merciful Father. That is why he's shown like a mother who nurses her newborn child. He is not going to let you be harmed. He will not let one strand of your hair be burnt on your head. These are the promises that we have in his word. You see, the devil doesn't want us to go deeper with God. He doesn't want us totally walking by faith. Do you know why? Because it exposes him for what he is. That's why. Some of you still can't get to that place just yet where you can totally walk by faith. It seems, you know, the obstacles and the trials just get in the way. It still is a hindrance, but settle it, brothers and sisters. That's all God asks. Just settle it before him. Lord, I am in this walk, the deeper life, to walk totally by faith. I don't know how you are going to do this, but I know you will. You will bring me to that place where I can swim for your glory and be preserved and kept by the power of Almighty God. He's going to do that. He started that work. He will complete and finish it, as the word says. Now, very often, when he's delivering us, it does look as though everything's out of control. It sometimes feels as though the very thing I fear is happening to me. Just like Job. Well, that is where God works the deliverance. And as I say, keep coming, stay in there, and you will come through. Because that's all God has asked of us. Keep coming, keep listening, keep your eyes on me, keep in prayer, keep in my word, and I will do it. That's not hard, is it? That isn't rocket science. You see, sometimes it's so simple we miss it. As I've taught many times, where Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He just says, come, and he'll do the rest. And this is what he's doing. This is what he's doing with us, brothers and sisters. And this is why I find this, as I close now, so encouraging. These healing waters, bringing back life. And that's what he's doing. He's bringing back life to us. He's breathed life into these old, dead, dry bones. And he's not only breathing life into his church, he's breathing life into his people, Israel, as well, as they are being restored. This is why what God does in the times of restoration, he's restoring Israel and he's restoring the church. And the two are walking together for the glory of God. And this is how he does it. He's restoring us back to a total walk of faith. This is where the bride makes herself ready. This is the first fruits that are brought in from the harvest field and presented on the altar. And it signifies what else is to come when harvest. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Wading out by faith. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us, encouraging us. Thank you, Lord, for these living waters that have come to revive, to heal, to save, to restore. Lord, help us to wade out and to swim by faith. And that our eyes will be totally, completely looking to Jesus and no one else. Father, grant that to us. Help us, Lord, with this. Thank you today for our faith.
Let him in constancy follow.